Lisa.
You sure about that? Yes. I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And this episode, we watched 98 Sliding Doors and 2022's Netflix Look Both Ways.
Yes, I did think you were going to say what you said in when we were practicing when you didn't remember the name of the movie. So these are both movies about a woman in her 20s who something happens slightly differently in her life in two different kind of alternate timelines. And in one, she pursues her career aspirations and becomes mildly successful. And in the other, she has an accidental pregnancy.
That's only half the truth.
Okay, because in Sliding Doors, she does have the unplanned pregnancy in both universes in Sliding Doors.
Yeah.
Whereas in Look Both Ways, she only has it in one.
Yeah, it's a parallel universe-y thing where it's just like showing two different stories at the same, similar time frame.
Yeah.
And both of them have unplanned pregnancies in them, which is interesting. Because I guess that's a character trait for women, according to the writers. It's just like, you could be successful.
I mean, I feel like they kind of went, like, when they did Look Both Ways, they went with, let's make Sliding Doors, except let's make it all about the pregnancy aspect.
Yeah.
Because that's what Look Both Ways is. Because in Sliding Doors, here's the thing, this really annoyed me. In Sliding Doors, the reason they split in universes is because she either does or doesn't catch the tube on time. She's in the London Underground, and she either gets to the doors right before they close or right after they close.
Yeah, and it's all a small child's fault.
It is all a small... It's dependent on whether the parent, I think mother of the child, pulls them out of the way or not.
Yeah.
So that's the actual deciding moment. I guess in Look Both Ways, the deciding moment is whether or not a condom worked, because it splits with her taking the pregnancy test and it coming up negative or positive, but it means that the actual split happened while she had sex.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, I knew that Look Both Ways was a Sliding Doors style movie. Sliding Doors is referenced in a lot of media over the past, 25 years or whatever.
Came in 98. It's not surprising.
Yeah.
It's got Goop in it.
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, right. Gwyneth Paltrow. I was like, what? I knew that Look Both Ways was a Sliding Doors type movie, but I didn't know the ins and outs of it. And because it's called Look Both Ways, I thought it would have something to do with, crossing a road, getting hit or not getting hit in traffic or something like that. You know what I mean? Why is it called Look Both Ways? It doesn't... It's got nothing in her life... Nothing that happens in it is to do with her having looked one way or another. It's to do it with the effectiveness of a condom, and that's the entire concept of the movie, hinges on one condom.
Yeah. It's poorly... It just feels like a let's remake a movie, but change it slightly.
Apparently their working title was Plus Minus.
That makes way more sense.
Wait, makes so much more sense for a positive or a negative pregnancy test. And then they went with Look Both Ways instead, which is just...
Yeah, so the general plot of Look Both Ways is a young girl and her friend who have these plans to move to LA from Texas. I think they live in Texas. Yeah. And they've got all these plans of what they're going to do with their lives, and she's going to become a illustrator.
Animator.
She's
doing, I think, primarily character design for animation.
Yeah. And she ends up having their Juno moment, which is two friends having sex because they've, I've wanted this for so long.
To clarify, not the friend she's planning to move to LA with.
No.
Yeah.
But she is a lesbian.
The friend that she's moving to LA with. Yeah. Not the pregnant girl.
No, not the pregnant girl. There would be some confused writing there. Where's I going with this?
Lesbians can get pregnant, for the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know how biology works.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so they you know, and then it comes to this party and it's either pregnancy or bad sushi, gas station sushi. Why do people buy sushi from the gas station? Why do gas stations sell sushi? That is a question to be pondered for millennia. The point I'm getting to is, yeah, she's either got food poisoning or she's got morning sickness, and then that's where the universe has changed. And then it's sort of just like, I was expecting, like, a spoilers, obviously, because it's, like, the main thing of our podcast, but I was expecting the twist to be...
That she was pregnant in both universes?
No.
Oh, that's what I was expecting.
Oh, okay. What I was expecting was you'd expect the universe where she was a... teenage parent.
Well, not teenage. She's in her 20s. Okay. She's finished university.
A young adult parent.
Yeah.
With a boyfriend who wants his entire ambition, well, the baby daddy of the entire ambition is to tour with his cool band.
Yeah.
Who only sing covers of, like, the most white bread songs I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. So, yay, huge money on that. You're ready to play all the weddings.
And somehow I end up playing South by Southwest at the end of the movie, which is bizarre. Anyway.
Yeah. My point I'm getting to, eventually, is the fact that what I thought the writers were going to do, which would have been honourable and a good movie,
mm-hmm.
is if the one where she kind of, like, okay, I rephrase what I'm about to say. It would have been an interesting twist, mm-hmm. maybe not a good movie and probably not good writing, if the traditional... The one where she accidentally gets pregnant and has a strained relationship with the baby daddy and all this and stays home in Texas is the better outcome for her.
Right.
And the bad outcome is when she, young rural girl from Texas, moves to LA and, like, LA eats her.
Yeah.
But, like, they both end, like, spoilers again for, like, the end of the movie. I'm just so pissed off about it. She ends up, like, happy and everything is perfectly normal and all is safe within the universe.
Yeah,
and,
the like, moral Mufasa's of the story is... alive
and, like...
the moral of the movie is everything's fine no matter what you do.
Which is untrue.
It's a none dumb... of your choices matter. It's going to be fine no matter what. Whereas Sliding Doors is that the
same outcome for Sliding Doors?
Sliding Doors is the exact opposite.
It doesn't matter if you get the tube or not.
Sliding Doors is you're going to end up in a hospital with a miscarriage no matter what happens.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter if you catch your train or not, you're going to end up in hospital with a miscarriage.
Yikes. Okay, so they're both the exact opposite. No, I did think it looked both ways. I thought the twist was going to be that she was pregnant in both versions.
Right.
Because the sickness is the same. And there's no reason for the sickness to be the same if it's morning sickness in one and bad sushi in the other. Especially if she ate the same sushi in both.
True.
There's no reason for it to be different. I thought it was going to be that, like, one is where the pregnancy test is positive and she stays home and does whatever. And then the other one was her, like, going to LA and doing her stuff. And then it's, like, realizing... you know, a month later that she's late and or whatever, and then discovering that she is pregnant but is now out in LA doing it by herself, you know, with her friend.
Yeah.
But that's not...
That would have been a more compelling story.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been
especially if she'd, like, gotten a job, like, signed up to a contract, her and her friend had signed up to, like, a term lease.
Yeah.
Which, you know, LA rent is internationally known as not being cheap.
Yeah.
And then, that would have been a much more compelling story.
Yeah, instead they go there, and then she decides, she says there's all the animation jobs are just
unpaid
internships. So she finds an assistant job with her idol, a great character designer who needs an assistant for some reason, never explained what the assistant's job is. She doesn't seem to actually assist her in anything. And she tries to stalk her at a party and then instead runs into a guy who works at the same studio and he changes around the order of the CVs so that they think that hers is the best. And then she gets hired because that guy messed up with the system. And then she gets fired because she can't do any original art.
Yeah, it's very much The two, because this is basically what both movies boil down to, is the romantic interest for the female character is different. So you get lovable drummer from Texas, LA guy who's just oozes LA.
Also, like, very unclear what age he is.
Yeah, which is also, like, concerning.
Because he's, like, a producer later in his career, and she's just, like, straight out of college, and he meets her at a party, and then follows her around, and then gets her a job at his studio, and then follows her around some more.
Yeah. Versus you get Cheedy McCheedy, or guy who's...
Weirdly optimistic.
I was saying already married.
Yes, married but separated, and planning a divorce.
Yeah, and that's the two options for Gwynny.
For Gwynny.
Comes home and.
Yeah, she either comes home and finds her husband in bed with another woman.
Is it her husband?
Oh, sorry, her
boyfriend.
Boyfriend, yeah. She does take off a ring and throw it in the river though, but it's on her right hand.
So it's like a promise ring.
I guess so.
I promise to eventually be able to afford a deposit on a engagement ring because I'm an unemployed writer.
Yeah, what really bugged me about it this time, because I've watched Sliding Doors quite a few times. I enjoy Sliding Doors. I don't think it's a great movie.
You said
when
Look Both Ways finished, you were like, oh my god, that movie was awful. Don't worry, Sliding Doors is better.
No, what I said was, Sliding Doors isn't a good movie, but at least it's better than this garbage.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoy Sliding Doors, but I acknowledge that it's not a great movie. It's just fun to watch. I enjoy watching it. Look Both Ways just feels like someone trying really hard to get hired by Hallmark to write Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
It's so Hallmark without actually being Hallmark. It's ridiculous. But I think there's a lot of that on Netflix these days. Wait, what was I saying about Sliding Doors? Oh yeah. The thing that really annoyed me about it this time, I guess coming from, like, an older perspective, is, like, in the universe where she comes back and she finds him in bed with another woman, why does she leave? She leaves and goes and stays with her friend.
That's a good point.
But she's the one paying for the apartment because he doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, yep.
How does he continue? Because at that point, then she in that version of it, she doesn't work for a while because she's just been fired, obviously. And then she eventually sets up her own company.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, is staying with her friend while she gets her finances in order. But who's paying for the apartment? Because he continues to live in it.
Magical. We forgot about how plot works. Money.
And then in the other version of it, like, she gets home later because she's been mugged on the way and doesn't find him in the apartment, but sees signs that maybe there was someone in the apartment. But then she gets two different part-time jobs. So she works from like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. or something stupid to pay for him to sit around doing nothing or having an affair.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And then also in that version, he just continuously gaslights her.
Yeah.
He's a real piece of garbage.
Do you know the only character I liked out of these two movies?
What, who?
Russell.
Who's Russell? Oh, is it the friend? His friend who just keeps laughing at him the whole time? Yeah.
Because he just goes and, like, vents all his problems to him about, like, oh, you know, there's two beautiful women who both want me and blah, 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 and I'm playing them, you know, like, woe is me, I'm unemployed, don't have a care in the world, and just have sex constantly to two women, one who pays my rent and the other one who's clearly wealthy as hell.
Yeah.
Woe is me, and Russell's just like, you're an idiot, mate.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit in the pub and drink a pint and laugh at you every time everything blows up in your fucking face.
What about her friend?
That would have been a more interesting side plot within the universe, within the Sliding Doors extended universe, where Russell and Annie...
Is that her name?
I think so. Annie get together?
No, I don't want them to get together. I just think that she's also a decent character. She seems like a nice person.
What about, I can't remember... They're so generic.
Anna, yeah.
The names in the Sliding Doors movie are so generic. Who's the friend? I'm going to go through the cast. There's no photos.
Which friend?
No, it's not Douglas. Douglas played Russell. So Clive?
Oh yeah, Clive is James's friend.
Clive and Anna should have been like that could have worked. Yeah.
That would have been
a way more interesting pivot point in like the mid of the second act.
I feel like he was queer coded though. As far as 90s British movies
because
he
had dye in the front of his hair.
Because he had dye.
Really, he was really into restaurants.
Yeah, because he was because he was a enthusiastic single foodie with dyed hair and slightly eccentric mannerisms. I think that was the 1990s British equivalent of queer coding your character. Well, but I don't know, you know?
Clive and Russell, then.
That'd be funny. I just assume Clive was married.
Yeah, I assume so, too.
Oh, sorry, not Clive, sorry, Russell. I assume Russell was married, yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like just, like, middle-aged married bloke.
It's just, yeah. Everybody, including, well, I don't know. Just everybody just seemed like a dick in that movie. Because it's like the whole moment where James, played by John Hannah, James and Helen, who's Gwyneth Paltrow's character,
mm-hmm.
are both like not quite like they're like edge calling each other. I don't know how else to describe it. Is when you like you put the number in, but you don't let the ring happen.
Yeah, because he said he put in the number, but didn't put in the last digit.
Yeah,
and then hung up.
And they're just like doing this to each other to the point where she rings his secretary answers, and she just slams the phone up, even though like in the blonde timeline, because that's the other difference in the like. I thought it would be way more interesting if instead of like her changing her hair, which is whoop-de-doo, is if like she had a scar. Because, you know, it's always the alternate timeline characters that always have scars on their face.
Well, she did, though.
Yeah, she had like a little
one on her eyebrow. Yeah.
But it wasn't like
from
obvious.
When she got mugged.
Yeah. It's not like obvious where, you know, she's like got a milky eye and a big giant scar from like her forehead down to her cheek.
They're not going
to
do that in a rom-com.
I know, but I'm saying like.
Whereas they did the hair thing in Look Both Ways as well, except they swapped it around and it really confused me. Because they said that they cut her hair and that she looked like a mom, but her hair looked no different. And then the next time you see her hair is much shorter than that and a totally different style. And then like it grows out, so then it's suddenly, but like it's a time skip, so it's suddenly long again. But then in the other timeline, she cuts it short to the same cut that she had in the baby timeline. It was very confusing.
Yeah. Again,
I don't know how much time is supposed to have passed. It's very odd, like how time works in Look Both Ways. Because at least in Sliding Doors, we have like a relatively set.
And they both end at the same time.
Yeah.
And
they do. It is in Look Both Ways that they both end at the same time, but there's way more of time skips. So like the baby is 4. By the end of it?
Yeah, she's like a 4-year-old at the end of the movie.
Yeah, so the movie takes place over 5 years, whereas Sliding Doors is like a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, so basically what happens in the like end of the second act, I guess, is you get hints of her, you know, doing her thing again. In both where she's, you know, been this PA that's, like, been told by her idol that she's irrelevant and useless. One of them, she makes, like, an animated short about a blue jay getting a tattoo of a blue jay.
Yeah, which is still derivative as hell and looks
garbage. And the
other
one is, like, a webcomic that's about the relationship with her daughter.
Yeah,
and
that's so much cooler.
This is my point. They should have pivoted it to the point where, like, this might sound sexist or, like, conservative, but I think the reality-wise, looking at both stories, the one where she has the kid is a much better life for her.
Yeah, I think if they had... Yeah, because it was very much... I think they could have... If they had just changed how the other timeline ended, they could have made a better movie. Because it very much starts off that, like, in the one with the pregnancy... She doesn't like that she's got pregnant, but she wants to keep it, and it's, you know, things aren't great. She moves back in with her parents,
I forgot Luke Wilson was in it.
Wilson is her dad.
Yeah.
And then after she has gives birth, she has postpartum depression. So she's really in a bad place. And then it's like, you know, she actually has a really good, you know, like at first stuff with her daughter is really hard because her daughter is not sleeping at the right schedules and things like that. And it's, you know, very difficult. But then it develops into this point that like she does actually get back into her art and gets and starts doing this webcomic based on her relationship with her daughter and, you know, and this Night Owl character she develops. And it's actually like really decent. And it's, and that's really cool. Whereas the other timeline starts off with her, like, everything is going right. She moves to L.A., she gets the place she wanted, she gets the job she wanted, she gets interested in this dude. And then there's a point where, like, she loses the job, and the guy has moved to Nova Scotia for a film, a documentary he's producing.
For...
It's a documentary thing.
Yeah, he was doing, like, extreme sports.
Yeah.
I don't know how they work together.
I don't know. I think he was a producer on the animated show or whatever
originally. Oh, right. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, he was a producer for the animation studio and then he got these freelance gigs doing live action documentary stuff. But anyway, so she... Yeah, so at that point then, they should have had her go downhill and realize that, like, you know, and had that life become the shitty life.
Yeah.
While the other one was picking up and becoming the good life.
Yeah.
But instead then... While she's unemployed or whatever, she makes this animated short that's terrible, and then in both universes she gets into South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And you know, in one, like, the baby daddy is playing the band, and then they end up together, and the other one, the boyfriend has heard that she's got her short in South by Southwest, and he comes from Nova Scotia to see it, except he just stands outside shouting screaming at people asking for tickets.
Yeah.
Instead of booking tickets.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's a premiere of a short film. Normally at things like that they do like 5 or 6 of them in one in one showing, and this seems to be like just a premiere of just her short film, which is not how that works. Sorry.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of weird people who wrote this don't know how reality works
kind of material. I feel like I want, like, because there's definitely people who listen to this podcast who are animators and work in the animation world, because that is what my original background is. And I have friends who actually worked in the industry when I never did. I feel like they should watch this movie just to critique how inaccurate everything about animation is in it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't work in the industry, but even I know, like, this is not how any of this works. You don't have, like, a famous character designer running a studio where she has character design assistants who don't do any character design or do any assisting. And then she fires them for not doing good enough character design when she only looked at their character design 4 years into them working there.
Yeah.
It's like, what is happening? What does she do? What did the studio do? There's no indication that they actually animate anything.
Maybe they'll... Oh, that's a good question.
There's just this character designer who has her own studio full of people doing who knows what. And then your one goes off and just, like, on a tablet, like, makes some assets and then suddenly has a whole short film.
Yeah. Maybe, here's my idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is me just spitballing here. Maybe they got in with, like, a company who make animated ads all the time.
Right.
And have just been making bank off that and don't actually have to do any real work anymore because this massive multi, you know, national corporation just wants a cutesy, like, animal to be like, hey, do you know we've got a sale on? And then everyone's just like, oh my god.
But you wouldn't have a whole studio dedicated to a character designer, like... And also, if she's a famous character... But if she's a famous character designer, why does she need this whole studio of people doing character design? And also, what does that... What does her assistant do? She doesn't do anything.
I was just going to say, you know, Briscoe's keeps that lady in a cryogenically frozen chamber and wakes her up every time they have a sale thing on. She has not aged since the 80s, and that's how long she's been the spokesperson for Briscoe's. If you don't know what Briscoe's is, it's like a home... department store, Manchester, you know, everything.
I was going to say it's like B&Q. Don't say Manchester. Okay. No one outside of New Zealand knows what that means.
And Australia. Thank you very much.
Okay, but like, everyone else, that's just a town in the UK.
Okay. Linen. bed clothes. I don't know what they're called.
You guys can join our Discord and tell us if you call bed clothes Manchesters.
Yeah, Manchester. Anyway, yeah, they keep that lady cryogenically frozen. And they must be paying some animation studio to make those horrible pack and save ads.
Mm-hmm.
With a little stuck man who says, yeah, we have cheap ads to save you money. Yeah. Then why the hell am I constantly seeing them if they're so cheap? Because you pay for time, not quality. Idiots. I don't know where I was going. I was just ranting about being a Kiwi, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Bubble O' Bill.
Bubble O' Bill?
Bubble O' Bill.
Bubble O' Bill.
Yep.
What is happening? Did we just slip into an alternate universe?
Maybe.
What was the choice I should have made differently?
Starting this podcast with me. You're in the dark timeline.
Oh, no.
Anyway, back to the movie. Stuff happens. Places go, people.
Mm-hmm.
Happy-go-lucky ending? No, that's wrong. Sliding Doors has a far more
interesting
ending, yeah, and far more compelling and well-written.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
Because she dies.
You somehow blinked and missed her dying.
Yeah, I was just...
You're like, what happened to the other ending? I was like, what do you mean? She just died on screen.
And I was like, oh, that's what was happening when he was like holding her and crying on the hospital bed.
Yeah, that's what was happening. So with Sliding Doors, it comes to a head where in one universe, in the universe where she got home and saw the affair,
Scar universe.
No, non-Scar universe.
Yeah, in non-Scar universe.
She doesn't have a scar either. In Blonde universe. In Blonde universe, she meets James. Blah, blah, blah.
James Blonde.
Romantic. She gets prego with James's child. And then when she goes to tell him, he's not there, but his secretary says he's at the hospital with his wife. And then she freaks out and goes to a bridge that she goes to cry. Luckily, he knows that she goes to the bridge to cry. So when he finds out that she found out, he goes to tell her, actually, it's not what it looks like. My mom's just really sick, so we pretend we're still married. And then she gets hit by a van. Scar universe, because in both universes, not only is she pregnant, but so is the woman that her partner was having an affair with.
His sperm works really well.
Yeah, so she is pregnant with his baby in that universe, and then the other lady's pregnant as well. And in Scar universe, the affair-y, I guess, has orchestrated a situation to reveal to both of them that the affair is happening and that she's pregnant. So she gets the guy to show up at her house, but then she also has pretended, she's like under false pretenses told Helen that she's got a job interview for her at this apartment, and Helen shows up and she gets the boyfriend to answer the door, and then she's like, oh, I'm pregnant with your boyfriend's child, and then Helen falls down the stairs.
Yeah.
And they both end up in hospital, they both lose the baby, and blonde Helen dies, and the other Helen, who's been having a horrible time, just a consistently horrible time, survives but kicks the idiot to the curb, and then meets James.
Yeah. And then remembers the stuff from the other universe. And so what we basically...
No, she has a deja vu moment, I think. Because you see that earlier on where they're like walking past the river where he's rowing.
Yeah.
And in one universe, she's watching the rowing and cheering him on. And the other universe, she's just walking past with her friend. And she goes like, for some reason, I feel like I knew there was going to be rowing happening.
Yeah. So in, for those who don't know and haven't seen the sort of, it's not quite a documentary and it's not really like a, it's just, you know, real slice of life of what's happening. The movie from, I think it's 1999, The Matrix. So what happens is when you get a deja vu, it's the robots chasing.
I genuinely thought you were going to say the movie Deja Vu. I thought that's where you're going with it, but yeah.
Oh my god, have you seen Deja Vu?
Yeah, a long time ago.
With Denzel Washington.
No, a different one. That's not him.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about? Why would you, after I said I'd seen it, why would you then be like, no, the one with Denzel Washington? What other one is there?
The one with Denzel Washington.
That's the only one.
Oh, okay. I'm confused now. I thought you were talking about another movie.
No.
Okay. That was a good movie.
Okay.
Denzel Washington's had a good career.
Yeah, because that starts out as just like a crime thriller and then suddenly becomes like a weird
Spoilers, time travel.
I mean, it's called Deja Vu, what do you think? But yeah, so I guess in this, you know, the sliding doors extended universe, it's explained as deja vu is you remembering something that you're currently doing in another alternate timeline.
Yeah. You want to get into any trivia? And I guess box office doesn't really work.
No, because one of them's a Netflix
movie. Netflix movie, and so. Also from like 2 years ago.
Yep. I don't think I have a lot of trivia. This is going to be a really short episode.
They were short movies.
Yeah, true. So, John Hannah basically got Sliding Doors made, single-handedly, because he had read the script and he really wanted to make it, and then, like, funding just fell through. And then he was in a meeting with Sidney Pollack, and he mentioned the screenplay that he'd been hoping to make, and Sidney Pollack was like, oh, let me read the script, and then sorted out the funding for it.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Also, apparently, Brian May wrote a song for the film, and then, like, a few months into production, they were like, oh, actually, a different record company is co-financing the film, so we can't use your song anymore. And instead, he went and made an entire concept album around that song. So there's a whole Brian May solo concept album called Another World, released in 1998, that only exists because of Sliding Doors.
So it's part of the Sliding Doors extended universe.
Literally part of the Sliding Doors extended universe. So you should go listen to some Brian May after this. Also, with the rowing club stuff, they had originally gone to the Imperial College for their rowing club, and they realized that they were all like over 2 meters tall and super like muscular guys.
So that would make John Hannah look like
they would exactly. They were
like, this guy.
They were like exactly. They were like, okay, this isn't gonna work because John Hannah's gonna look like. Absolute tiny weaknesses. So they went to the to a London rowing club called Signet, because that crew made John Hannah look like he was the tall athletic one in the boat.
Right.
Which is so funny to me that they had to go find some like rowers that looked less athletic than John Hannah in order to make him look good.
Because that what you were just describing reminded me of that weird scene in the movie Miami Connection. Where they paid real bikers in beer.
And then they all just flash the camera constantly.
Yeah,
they
just hang out with the bad guy who's an Asian man who's a biker who's also involved with drug dealing ninjas. That movie is very confused.
It's part of the Sliding Doors extended universe.
He's not the toughest looking dude there, but he's supposed to be the boss of like
is he the boss
of the bikers?
Or I don't is he know. Just like he's just some ninja dude, and then they got these real actual biker gang into like it's bizarre.
Anyway,
that's all the trivia.
Okay. What about I was gonna say Sliding Doors, but there was Sliding Doors.
That was Sliding Doors. I had nothing about
that. There is no trivia for Netflix movies.
It doesn't exist. It's just a shitty movie. I don't really recommend Look Both Ways. It is very Hallmark. It's very like...
I think if you removed the drug use, the fact that her best friend's a lesbian, and... Because she was like covered in like her clothing to the party where she's like vomiting has got like... iron-on marijuana leaf decals on her clothes. Like, if they'd removed all that stuff, I'm pretty sure Hallmark would have snapped up the writer or the whatever, whoever.
Her friend has, like, great eye makeup throughout the movie.
Yeah,
like, every scene she's in, she looks great.
She basically acts circles around her as well.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh, that was something I wanted to say, was the guy... The love interest in the non-mom universe, in the animation universe, the producer guy, like, all of his dialogue and all of his acting felt like he was acting in the room.
Yeah.
You're not even listening
David Cronswit.
Okay. Did you even hear what I just said? Because you just totally ignored me.
Yeah, I did. He was acting like he was in the room.
Yeah, literally the way he delivered every line. Like, his dialogue was written badly to begin with.
Yeah.
But then the way he delivered every line was like, he was like, oh, hi, doggy. You know? Like, I was like, what's happening? happening? I was like, this guy's in a totally different movie to everyone else. I don't understand it. It's like every person in that movie is in a different movie to each other.
Yeah, I don't think the director did a very good job of, like, getting cohesion on set.
Yeah, like, so he was in the room. Lily Reinhart and the animation lady and, like, maybe her parents were all in a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
The only one who was acting like they were in a proper movie was the you know, the roommate slash best friend. And it's like, it's just so weird. Yeah, there's no cohesion to it.
Yeah. And yeah, even, odd. Like, even the mum and dad's relationship is a little bit too risky for Hallmark. Because when she's, like, talking about moving back in, they're like, well, there goes Naked Weekends, and there goes this. And
but that, like, just sound, that just feels like someone trying to make edgy dialogue without knowing what real people sound like.
Oh my god, her grown parents still have sex.
And then they, like, wake her up by, like, doing exercises next to her bed.
Yeah.
And what is this? It's so bizarre.
And Luke Wilson only says wow once.
He doesn't say wow.
Oh.
No.
This is a shame.
It was one of the love interests said, wow. Oh, but okay. They did do it in a real, like, Owen Wilson kind of way.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I was like, I wonder like if that Luke. Because... Luke's you like Luke good. Wilson?
Yeah. He's good in The Martian. Is he in The Martian? No.
What he is was it? In... He's not even in that movie.
He was in...
Approaching the Unknown.
Approaching the Unknown.
Oh, my God. Flashback first episode. To our first episode, and you just mixed up the movies. That is so funny. Was that... Luke Wilson in that, or was it Owen Wilson?
It was Luke. I'm pretty sure it was Luke Wilson. Who was in that Extraction-y movie? Was it Owen or Luke?
In what? Oh, okay. I thought you were talking, for some reason I thought you were talking about the one where you think it's an alien invasion, then it's actually humans are coming?
There's Extinction.
Extinction. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's not Extraction, because Extraction is...
No, like it's Owen Wilson. It is Owen Wilson. I can't think of the name of it. It's surprisingly good.
Yeah,
that was Owen Wilson has hit his peak of acting in the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
He's just, like, suddenly getting roles where he's really good. Like, Loki season 2. Well, actually, I think, because he's in all of Loki, right? He's just great in Loki.
I don't know. I never watched it.
He is great in Loki. Like, he's just inexplicably, like, Luke Wilson or Owen Wilson is, like, the secondary, like, the second main character in that series, and he's fantastic. He's on fire in it. I don't know what it is about him that he's just suddenly become really good. I think it's just they're putting him in good movies.
It's just maybe he's just not playing the dumb handsome dude that just says wow.
Was he supposed to be handsome?
He plays, like, the other best model in the world in Zoolander.
Oh, I didn't realize...
Zoolander?
Zoolander.
Yeah.
I didn't realize people thought Owen Wilson was handsome.
Okay.
That's just a brand new news that you're bringing to me right now.
Okay. moving on.
But he is doing really good. I do want to watch that. He's in a haunted mansion adaptation that we should watch at some point. We'll probably do it for the podcast because there's a few now.
Right. Can't wait.
He seems to be genuinely, like, really doing good acting lately.
That's good.
He's realizing that Owen Wilson can actually act. I like this. Hugh Grant is another one. Again, would have been typecast as, like, just random handsome guy a lot in the 90s, early 2000s, and now he's being allowed to just go and act, and he actually is very good when he goes out and acts.
What was he in that was really famous?
Was it Dungeons and Dragons? What do you mean really famous? Like, back in the day?
Yeah.
Notting Hill? Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Yeah, so one was, like, the weird romantic dark comedy stuff they used to do where people would fall over. British people like falling things falling over.
And they like Gwyneth Paltrow falling down the stairs.
Yeah. And having a miscarriage. Jesus. All right, that short episode, movies are pretty much identical in both positives and negatives. You know, women can do whatever they set their mind to, regardless if, you know, some dude's condom breaks. But yeah, I just think the timelines should have been more hashed out and smarter. To make a more, you know, Hallmark-friendly movie or a...
I don't want it to be a Hallmark-friendly movie. Just make it a better movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be a Hallmark movie.
But, like, if it was a Hallmark movie, we could, it would be okay that it's that shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. That's my point. I mean, it's on Netflix. It's at why Hallmark is it this quality? Shit?
Well, because that's what Netflix have been doing lately. Yeah, so Netflix have been producing their own, garbage. Like, Christmas movies that are the equivalent of Hallmark Christmas movies and things. Netflix are getting on that Hallmark game because they're going, hey, Hallmark have been successful with this for so long, and let's get the Hallmark...
Let's do something worse.
Let's get the Hallmark fans on here. Now, in fairness, I think we have Hallmark fans who listen to our podcast. Yeah. Because we do Hallmark episodes at Christmas.
But at least they know what they are.
Yeah, but if any of the Hallmark fans listening to our podcast want to watch Look Both Ways and tell us if you think it feels like a Hallmark movie, like, absolutely do them. I think it feels very Hallmark. Yeah, there's like a certain brand of like greeting card sunny. Happiness, everything's great.
Yeah.
Because the end of the movie, spoiler, is that like she goes back to the bathroom that she found out she was pregnant in, looks at herself in the mirror and goes like, you're doing fine. And then that's the end.
Yeah.
And it's both versions of her at the same time doing it. Because it's like, wow, everything's got to be great and work out no matter what you do with your life.
It's only been like approximately 5 years and I'm just walking into the sorority house unannounced. Yeah, she just walks
straight into it and up into the bathroom and no one says anything.
Yeah.
I was like, is this just someone's house? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then she just leaves... her love interest, because it's two different love interests, she just leaves them outside, is like, wait here for a minute, and then walks into a random house. And they're like,
wait okay, here for a minute. The writer wrote something back during, like, the pre-draft, and they haven't gotten rid of it.
I've got to go in and say something to a mirror, and then come back out and live the rest of my life and be happy forever.
This is my, my moment, my Citizen Kane, my Kane from Citizen Kane moment.
Rosebud. Yeah, she walks in and says Rosebud to the mirror.
Yeah. Red rum.
Red rum.
If you like the things we're saying, and if you don't, if you join our Discord, you'll be able to tell us.
Mm.
We'd like that. Please do it. If you want to sign up to our newsletter, it's on our website. And if you want to go to our website, it's ittakes2.co.nz. There's all of our social media feed, and you can find us. And I don't know how you'd be listening to us without being able to listen to us. Maybe someone linked it to you. In fact, share with friends.
Mm.
This is sponsored by me.
Write a review.
Pay for this.
We haven't had a review in a while. Write a review. And also, I haven't checked reviews in a while, so maybe we have.
Also, don't review 3 stars. I haven't seen these movies. That's not my problem, buddy. Watch the movies.
3 stars. I thought this was going to be about Blade Runner.
Yeah.
If you could tell us what movie to watch Blade Runner with, maybe we'll do it. Who knows?
Blade Runner 2.
Blade Runner and Pinocchio.
No.
I was trying to think of artificial humans, and for some reason all I could think of was Pinocchio. Blade Runner and AI, artificial intelligence.
No, because AI went with, what movie did we do with AI?
We haven't done AI.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know, I haven't watched AI in a very long time.
Oh god. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
Goodbye!
Bye.